while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
My focus today is on the text from Titus, which was read a little while ago. And often when we preach at Easter time, Titus, you know, Titus isn't, it's not one of those texts. We jump to what happened at crucifixion. We jump to the Gospels, don't we, typically. And I think that Pastor Jasmine, who set up this mini-series, I think you set it up really, really well. And the titles that you chose, very, very good. Last week, as a family, we went off on a short break, on a mini break. We went to Eastbourne in East Sussex. Eastbourne is kind of my childhood hangout. I went to school not far from Eastbourne. I went to school in a village called Upper Dicker. And it was really good to go back there. I haven't been there in nearly 40 years or so, about 40 years or so since I was certainly in Eastbourne, about 40 years. Went to the village of Upper Dicker. You know, I took Sumi and the children. We went to the school, and I said, oh, there's my school. And we took some photos, and obviously she's heard lots and lots of stories over the years about my school. And it was really good to go to the old tuck shop in the village. It's now called the Village Shop. I mean, but I found out that the shop's been there since about 1843. And I remember the good old days when I was in school, and I remember telling Sumi, and she was like, wow, so good to be in your secondary school and just get a sense of your background and your history. Wow, this is great, you know. And as we were driving out, I talked about my old head teacher. I think I mentioned it to a few people on Friday. And I said, yeah, oh, wow, they've named a block after him, Mr. Perrin. What a great guy. And she said, oh, did you really like him? I said, yeah, I mean, he was well respected, you know, although one of my last encounters with him was being called into his office to receive six of the best. And Sumi was like, what do you mean six of the best? And I said, yeah, six of the best. You know, thankfully, when they said, listen, he wants to see you in his office, come on, I knew I'd done something. When you know, the head teacher wants to see you after you've done something wrong, come on, join the dots. But thankfully, I had enough time to go back to my dormitory and put on my PE shorts under my uniform before I walked into his office. But I do remember that encounter of being a naughty boy, being a good boy on the other side of the spectrum. When I look at Titus chapter 3, if you put it on screen for me, please, when you look at verse 3 of our text, it reminds me in some regards of my childhood. You know, that impertinent time of life, immature time of life. It says, at one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. You know, at that time of disobedience, that time of, no, verse 3 is fine, thank you. That time of just self-deception, of foolishness, of immaturity, enslaved by passions. You know, I think back to, we've got parents. If you're a parent, wave at me, please. Parents here? Okay. Now, if you're a parent with a child over the age of four, wave at me, please. Over the age of four. Okay. That's because I say over the age of four because when I read this verse, I remembered one thing my mom used to do. Moms, are you here?
Yes.
Okay, dads, are you here? Oh, gosh. It's always the same. Dads, are you here? Don't worry, you'll go soon. You watch your football. Moms, there's something my mom used to do. You know, when that child is being a bit, you know, you're right in the middle of the disobedience. And I know we do it at home. Certainly, you know, we do it at home with Tomini. Mom says, what are you doing? I'm going to count to three. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. And you know, by the time three came, everything needed to have changed. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Whatever was wrong needed to have been put right. Hey! I'm going to count to three. Something had to change by the end of that countdown. And we know something had to change. You know, it's really important to know why something had to change. Because when we know why something needs to change, it's easier for the change to happen. We too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by all kinds of passions. Verse 4 says, when the kindness and love of our God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. Because of his mercy. You can move on. Verse 5, yeah, if you follow, yeah, there you go. But because of his mercy, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. I looked at that. It's not because of anything we had done. And it's wonderful to hear these testimonies today. How God in his mercy stepped into people's situations. China, where's China? Where are you? Where are you over this side? There you are. China, I mean, you know, China is someone who, I give God thanks for you, China. She works in an exceptionally secular environment. But her faith is so important. She still carries out and lives out that faith. And is a witness to that in her personal life. Through what she does. When she went to DJ at 10 Downing Street. Let's be clear. Downing Street, not 11. 10 Downing Street. Do you remember when she stood up here and testified? And it didn't matter. And was it through her own doing? Did she know the Prime Minister? Did you? I'm just asking. It wasn't through her own doing. All of a sudden now, doors of opportunity have opened for her. When God showed up for Monique, oh, Monique, she was ready. She had taken the scarf off. She was ready on Zoom. I mean, who has a Zoom fight? What's wrong with you? On Zoom, she was ready for her boss. And the guy leads with, I'm sorry. And it brought tears to her eyes. The Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. I'm sorry. Boom! All her weapons failed. How did she get that had to happen? And the promotion, you didn't use that word. She got a mighty promotion, saints. How did she make that happen? I remember Louise calling me. What was it you said to me? Oh, Pastor, can you pray for me? And I said to her, I'm not going to pray for you. No. She said, Pastor, pray for me, pray for me. This is what they've said. I said, I'm not going to pray for you. I don't. She's standing right there. You can ask her afterwards. I'm sure she would have been like, excuse me? Sorry, do you understand your role in my life? I said, I'm not. I don't know about you, but I've had enough of having enough of the enemy trying to have his way with God's people. I said, stand up, child of God, and take a stand against the enemy. I'm not going to pray for you. I will agree with you. You tell him where to go. And she stood and she did these things. Now, how? Look at the testimony. The boy is there, you know, crying, you know, smiling beautifully, just being a five-month-old boy. Quadruple his birth weight. like that. How did Louise do that? If not for God doing that. You know, when we see the why of a situation, it makes it easier for the change to happen. And so it goes on. The scripture goes on. It says he does this by the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that, here it is, having been justified by our own works, by the things that we have done, having been justified by our intelligence, right? Having been justified by our salary, having been justified by the size of the house in which we live, having been justified by our qualifications, having been justified by how many amens we get when we preach, justified by his grace, we might become heirs having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, verse 8. And I want to just leave this on screen for a bit, and then I'm just going to round up. It's a short sermon today. Verse 8 says, it's a trustworthy saying, and I want to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for who? Do me a favor, put your hand on your chest, say, these things are excellent and profitable for me. For you. for everyone. This is what the Holy Spirit did. This is what God did through the Holy Spirit. This is why he did it. And there, when we see the why, we need to step into. It makes it easier for the change to happen. Makes it easier for us to press into what the Holy Spirit gives us. Let me ask a question here. How many people here can ride a bike? Come on, wave at me. Some people are smiling. I know, yeah, you haven't ridden a bike for 30 years. Can you ride a bike? No? Some people can't ride a bike, and that's okay. You know, we'll pray for you. That's fine. Hey, we're praying church, right? Let me ask this question. When you first rode a bike, was it easy? How many people found it easy? Because I can't see any hands going. Didn't that bike wobble? Hey. Oh, let me. In fact, there's a different question. If I ask you a question, have you ever fallen off a bike? Hands. There you go. These are the people that can ride a bike. But those of you who can ride a bike, can you ride it now? Yes? Those of you who can ride it, somebody said no. Yes. If you can ride a bike, you can ride a bike. You might be a little bit wobbly at first, but it comes back, doesn't it? Stabilizers. Oh my goodness. How about those of you who can cook? How many people here can cook? Not everybody's put their hand up. I was watching one day on TV, there was a show, I can't remember the name of the show, where you know, these two teenagers were talking, and there was a lady, a girl and a boy, and first dates, I think, something like that for teenagers. It was an advert. It was just the advert, so I don't. Yeah. Anyway, it was the advert coming on TV, and the girl says, he says to her, "Can you cook?" She says, "I like to cook." And so he says, "Oh, what do you like to cook?" She says, "Toast." The guy says, "No, what do you mean cook? No, I mean cook." She said, "Yes, I cook toast." He says, "Toast isn't cooking." She said, "What do you mean it's not cooking?" He says, "It's not cooking." She says, "No, I don't buy it as toast." He says, "Yes, you buy it as bread." She says, "Yes." And then I put it in the toaster and it gets hot and it comes out as toast. I cook toast. So when I ask the question, how many people can cook? I'm not talking about toast. I found that really funny. So how many people here can cook? When you first learned to cook, was it easy? Have you ever burnt food? Yes. Okay, yes, everybody says. When you first try these things, it's not easy. But over the course of time, you dedicate yourself to it. Well, if it's food, particularly if you're hungry, then you don't, you know, you need, hey, you need to cook that thing again. Because otherwise, sooner or later, you're going to, how much burnt food can any person eat? Sooner or later, you're going to need to get it right. How about swimming? Anybody here can swim? Yeah, no, that's a bit, I'm not talking about swimming in the sea or a river, you know, in a pool. Yeah, I mean, you throw me in a swimming pool, I'll be fine. If I fall off a boat, forget it. Book the date. It's over. To start with, it's a little bit tricky. It's not easy. How many people can drive? To start with, it's not easy, but over time, you commit to it. It gets easier. In the same way, the Holy Spirit has empowered us to overcome even the initial challenges that we face. He's empowered us. He's not going to do it for you. But he's calling us. That's the new life that he has given. He's empowered us. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, tells us that God has bestowed on us through his divine power everything that we need for life and godliness. Everything we need for life and godliness. His divine power has given us everything for a godly life, the new NIV says. It says, through these, he has given us very great and precious promises. I love the message. It says, everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God. The best invitation we've ever received. We were also given absolutely terrific promises to pass on. Your ticket to participation in the life of God. This last bit, it says, after you turned your back on a world corrupted by lust. And so that takes us back to verse 3 of our text, Titus 3:3. Look at it again. At one time. You see, given us the power of life and godliness, the message says, after we turn our back on a world corrupted by lust, look at this verse. A life where we're foolish, a life where we're disobedient, deceived, enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures, a life where we lived in malice, in jealousy, in hatred, and being hated. This is the life that we should turn our backs on. This is the life that the Holy Spirit has empowered us to turn our backs on. Verse 5 tells us he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal. The Holy Spirit has done it, saints. He's done it. He has enabled you. But you must step into that. You must live that out. You must live out this rebirth. You must live out this renewal by faith. And as I said, you know, you may think, oh, it's easy for me. You know, this is really difficult. You don't understand. It's easy for me to say it to you because I don't understand how hard it is for you to trust. I don't understand, you know, what you've been through, the stuff that's happened, the stuff that's happened in your past. And that's true. I might not understand your past as much as you do, but I want to counsel you not to allow what has happened to you in your past to prevent you from receiving what Jesus has done for you today. Do not allow what happened to you in your past to be bigger than what Christ has done for you today. I want to counsel you. It is important that you understand the power that God has made available. Don't just be a volunteer victim. Just carried, tossed with every wind, carried by every flow. You know, drifting from one day to another, one situation to another, one difficulty or challenge to the other. Make a commitment today to live the full life that Jesus came to give us by the Holy Spirit. Book of John chapter 10, verse 10. We know this verse. It's a very well-known one. Yes? Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and life to the full. The older version says life more abundantly. The message says more and better life than they ever dreamed of. As such, we must do our best. We give our best. We live out our best at all times, in all situations, in all circumstances. That's the life that the Holy Spirit gives us. And when we begin to press into this new life, when we begin to press into this life that he gives us, and we look at ourselves, and we really, really look at ourselves, we recognize that we can actually be more, we can do better, we can go further than we imagined. There's more, saints. More than where you are right now. There's more. However, it's important for you to recognize the more. It's important for you to know as well, or see the more. It's important that you recognize that you can't do it just by yourself. Where you have been up to this point isn't enough. It isn't. I say, you know, as you know, many of you know, I still do quite a bit of counseling. I do a lot of work, particularly in relationships and with individuals. And I say to people, particularly the couples that come and see me, I tell them, if you could fix it yourself, you wouldn't be sitting in front of me. I see couples who've been married for 10, 15, 20 years. I had one couple, who I think they'd been together about 23 years, and their relationship was in absolute crisis. And one of them, husband or wife, one of them was reluctant. Oh, you know what, I don't even know why we're here. I just came maybe, you know, because I think we can sort it out. I said, you had 23 years of trying to sort it out. Get intervention, get mediation, get somebody else involved. You know, look again at that sermon title. Do you know the new life the Holy Spirit gives? He didn't say, do you know the new words the Holy Spirit gives? Do you know the new thoughts the Holy Spirit gives? Do you know the new principles the Holy Spirit gives? Some of us are going to sit with this sermon. We're going to sit with these words. And we'll let it sink in. And we'll think, and we will think, and we'll think, and we'll analyze, and get ourselves into that place that they call paralysis by analysis. Doing so much thinking, we actually do nothing. Please don't do that. Amongst the greatest minds that ever lived, Albert Einstein said these words. These are Albert Einstein's words. He said, "The thinking that has brought me this far has created problems that thinking cannot solve." The thinking that has brought me this far has created problems that thinking cannot solve. It is important, saints, that we do. We step into that new life. We live the new life. So let me tell you what God did through the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, it was Friday. We call it Good Friday now because, you know, we've seen the end of the story. We fast forwarded to the end of the movie, so we know how the story ends. That's why we call it Good Friday. But on that day, Lord Jesus had been crucified. He had willingly gone to the cross. And as I often say, he went to pay a debt he did not owe, because we owed a debt that we could not pay. So they killed him. He died. What happened to the disciples? They were confounded. They were perplexed. They didn't know what to do. These guys were confused. They didn't know what to do. Some of them experienced paralysis by analysis, standing there thinking, okay, what now? What now? Others couldn't imagine moving forward. So what did they do? They went back. They went back to their old lives, back to their old thoughts, back to their old ways, back to their old friends. A challenge had come and they couldn't imagine moving forward. The least they could have done was stand still. But they went back. It was a dark period in history. The battle had been fought. In fact, the devil had won that battle. Yes, he had. Jesus was dead. Death had come. Hopelessness had come. There was no end in sight, no light at the end of the tunnel. Things were messed up. And the world was about to return to a life of malice, a life of hate, a life where we would be foolish, disobedient, deceived, with all kinds of passions and pleasures. The light of the world, the hope of the world, Jesus, was in the grave. And you know what God said next? He said, "I'm going to count to three. And by the third day, it all changed." Hallelujah. It changed forever. God said, "I'm going to count to three." So what is before you? What are you facing? What's your situation? Who are you? Who have you become? What's the life you're living? I want to remind you that God can change all that because He is the Almighty Father. God has changed all that through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And God still will change all that, even now and forevermore, by the power of the Holy Spirit. So over that thing, that issue, that situation, where you've been praying for change, where you've been asking, "Lord, how long? Lord, when?" You just need to step into this new life. Step into that change. Don't look back to where you were. Don't even look around to where you are now. Look forward to where God is calling you to be. This much is true. When it concerns hindrance to change, it's not what we don't have. It's actually what we think we need that often hinders us from changing. It's not the things we don't have. It's the things we think we need that hinder us from changing. And this text reminds us that because of Easter, the Holy Spirit has enabled everything within us to make that change. Saints, let your lived out life be your philosophy. Let the life you live be your theology, beyond the thoughts, beyond the words. Don't tell the world, show the world. The Holy Spirit has enabled you with everything you need. Of course, it is in Him that we live. It is in Him that we live it out. It is in Him that we too can see the benefits of resurrection as we live out the new life He gives, not just at Easter, but for the rest of our lives. Amen.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.